Portions of KDKR's daily programming do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
So why you need to be careful where you park your car? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Tony Joe's here with me as he is every Friday to take your Car Corner questions. The number to call is 1-877-913-5357. 1-877-913-5357. If you've got a question for me, you can go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. Send a question into the Ask Bob section and I will get you taken care of. That's off the website. www.prudentmoney.com. 1-877-913-5357. Tony Joe, how's it going today?
Well, it's going pretty well, I must admit.
Pretty well. Is that because it's Friday, or it's really going pretty well for you?
Yeah, you know, Fridays aren't for me like most people. I don't. It's really no different than any other day. But yeah, it's good. Everything's good. And how about you?
Good. Doing good. I wanted to take a few minutes and talk about something that we had just briefly mentioned. We didn't talk about it on the radio. We just briefly mentioned, start talking about it afterwards. Okay. About the stealing of catalytic converters. And I started off the program by saying why you need to be careful where you park your car, because there's a lot of truth to that, and I think a lot of unsuspecting people are having some bad things happen when they hit the alarm and walk off and go inside for the night.
My own sister, about a month ago, she calls me up. She said, "I just got out of work. I don't think I can drive my car. I don't know what happened, but it's loud." And I said, "Put your phone up there and start it up." She started it up. You know, no catalytic converter. The car's loud. It's like no muffler. I said, "Well, bad news. Somebody stole your converters." So, you know,
converters
happens to everybody. Well, some cars have two. Some have one. Okay. Yeah, depending on the make and model and what engine you have. But it's hitting everybody, and it's very, very prominent now. The metals are valuable, and people want. And let me tell you something. They've been caught on camera, on video, they can jack up a car. They can't get under. Some trucks you can just slide under there, but a car, they'll jack it up. They bring their own equipment. They'll jack it up, cut both converters, or one converter if that's all it is, and be gone within 2 minutes.
Amazing.
It's a crew. One person does something, and another person slides under there, and another person...
It's like a pit crew.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So tell me this. So you steal a catalytic converter off of a car. And what do you get for it? Where do you take it?
Well, that I don't know, but I do know that the metals, palladium... See if I can remember. Palladium, platinum is another one. And rhodium. Apparently, these are so valuable, they bring so much money per ounce. And I'm talking, I may not be accurate anymore, but at one time I thought I heard $26,000 an ounce. And it may be grossly more than that now or grossly less, but I guess the market, depending on how many thieves bring in converters, you know. But it's incredible the amount of money that those metals are worth. And what I will tell you is this. There are people out there that will take the catalytic converters, the original converters that came from the factory. They'll take those off and put cheap Chinese aftermarket converters on there and still come out way ahead of the game. Okay? So there's something about the original equipment stuff. And, of course, I'm not really into this that much, thankfully, but I know the metals.
You mean that's not your side gig?
Well, what I'm saying is, you can, you know, people will sell cars and they go, I'm going to take the converters off and go have two converters put on at the muffler shop. I want the converters off this. Well, why? Well, because they're worth, I can, you know, sell the metal.
So is it something that happens after they're used?
No. Doesn't have to be
because
used.
Because why wouldn't a brand new converter be cost the same as a one that's stolen off of a car?
Well, like I said, they're going to have them replaced with aftermarket converters.
Right.
Cheap converters and cheaper in price. Whereas the original equipment converters can be $1,400, $1,500 each. So, you see, that's a way around the end game is to take off the valuable stuff and take it to a converter shop and then have two cheap converters put back on the vehicle so it'll run and drive.
So in the event that you get your catalytic converter stolen and you have to drive it someplace, obviously, and annoy all the people around you with the noise,
yeah.
Does it hurt anything? Does it,
well,
what do you have to be careful about?
You know, it doesn't really hurt anything as long as you're not going a great deal of distance. You know, if you got to go 5-10 miles to get to a muffler shop. But I will also say that my sister's case, which is the most personal case that I've dealt with. Now, I've had a lot of customers have converters stolen, and I got some other things that happened, and I'll get to that in a minute. But in my sister's case, the way this Honda was set up, it wouldn't even run. You try to give it gas, it wouldn't go, because there's nothing for the oxygen sensors to monitor. And most of the time, there's no sensors on it anymore, because one of them, at least, is usually in the converter, and they take the whole thing. So you may not be able to drive it. You may have to have it towed. But just to the listeners out there, if they haven't had this experience, you know, you go to work, your car's running fine, you park it, you come out at 3, 5 o'clock, whatever, start it up, and it sounds like a Mack truck. Well, pretty much what could have happened? Well, nothing that drastic is going to happen to your car when it was running fine when you drove in. But if it sounds like a truck when you start it up, when you come out after work, you can pretty much suspect somebody stole your converters while you were parked. That's the first indication, is the car will be very loud where it was fine when you drove it a little while ago.
So let me ask you a question. You said that you'd probably have to get it towed. If someone came and stole the catalytic converters and you realized that was what it was, but you didn't want to test drive it, you didn't want to do anything, you just had a tow truck take it, do you have to prove up that the car wouldn't drive? Do you know what I'm saying? Before the tow truck would, because insurance pays for that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to make you drive it because it's drivable. I think if your converters are stolen, you're going to have a tremendous amount of drivability problems anyway. So
okay, that's what I wanted.
Even if you tried to drive it, you might limp it with the four ways on in the right lane 5 miles, but, you know, you're not going to drive like a normal car.
This is more than just a loud noise. In other words, trying to get it from point A to point B. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. And, you know, the other interesting thing that I've run up against lately, this is incredible. I've had more and more, and if there's any mechanics out there, they may have experienced the same thing if they've got, you know, they work in a shop or something. More and more people come in and their check engine light is on, which is a common thing. And what we discover when we check it out and get it up in the air and look at everything, we find out that the oxygen sensor wires are cut with a pair of dikes or a pair of whatever. They're just cut. Now, why would somebody cut? You can have rats and mice over the winter or chew on wires. You can have that kind of thing happen, but this is not rat chews or mice chews. This is cut. The wires are still there, and it's just a clean cut. Well, what happened was probably they were about to steal your converter, but you walked up on them, or somebody heard a noise, or somebody came out, or something. Cop car drove by, you know, something like that.
Right.
So that's the only explanation that I've come up with all these.
So they cut the wires first.
Well, see, the sensors are often, one of the sensors is oftentimes in the converter. So rather than take a wrench and remove the sensor, which takes up time, just cut the wires. Then when you cut the converter off, You take the whole thing, sensor and all. It's easier just to cut the wires.
So is this a job that's different based on the make of the car?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have to...
Somewhat.
As a catalytic converter thief, mm-hmm. not that I'm encouraging anybody to do this, you have to know your make and model of your cars that you're stealing from.
Yeah, as a world-renowned, self-proclaimed catalytic converter thief myself, I will tell you that sometimes there is no oxygen sensor in the converter. Sometimes there is. If there is, you just cut the wires because it's quicker. Then you take a Sawzall with a metal blade, and that's how they're doing it. Portable Sawzall, battery-operated, portable saws, electric saw with a metal blade, and they just cut right through the pipes on either end of the converter, and they can do it so quick. It's been caught on video, in some cases, a minute, 30 seconds. I mean, that's fast.
That is fast.
You have to have some way to protect yourself, and other than parking it in the garage, which a lot of people don't have the luxury of doing, camera on it, or maybe at work they have video parking lot cameras, but it's not going to stop them. That's just going to be able to identify the thieves somewhat.
I guess you would think that somebody would invent
a way to
alarm or something that inside of there that would go off.
There are people right now working on that exact problem. In a lot of cases, people have come up with ideas that aren't going to work. I mean, that putting a big metal plate on there. Well, believe me, they're going to figure out a way to cut through that. I have often found, Bob, in my vast experience, especially with anti-theft systems on cars, the crooks are always a half a step ahead of the engineers. They build it. They make a way for you can't steal that car. The thieves will figure out a way to steal it. They seem to be half a step ahead.
1-877-913-5357. This is Bob Brooks. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Word for Today is excited to announce the new official online home for the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith and Kay Smith, pastorchuck.org. At PastorChuck.org, you'll have instant access to thousands of hours of verse-by-verse teaching by Pastor Chuck Smith, from Genesis through Revelation, and full access to special messages on subjects such as prophecy, and much, much more. Also at PastorChuck.org, a full library of great teachings by Kay Smith, and a section where you can read some of Pastor Chuck's books online, all free of charge. So visit the new official online home of The Word for Today and the ministry of Pastor Chuck and Kay Smith, pastorchuck.org.
Are you facing a desperate situation that seems hopeless? Perhaps a relationship that seems broken beyond repair? Monday on The Verdict, we remember that we have a God who can do the impossible. We're beginning to see the brilliant outcomes of our God at work in the lives of His people in the book of Esther. Monday on The Verdict.
Listen 10:30 a.m. on Bible School Radio 91.3.
Life is a race that we are all running to win. Join me, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, for Fuel for the Race of Life.
Weekday mornings at 5 and 8 on 91.3 KDKR, your station for life.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to this special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. 1-877-913-5357. So, insurance. Does insurance cover the replacement of a catalytic converter, technically, since it's being stolen off of a car?
I believe they do. And I will tell you that the reason I believe they will is because my sister and our experience was that yes, they did cover it, but by the time she paid the deductible, because her brother has a shop, we didn't go through insurance because it was cheaper that way.
Right.
But in most cases, yeah. If it was a customer, then yeah.
Yeah, and if you file a insurance claim, you're looking for higher premiums.
Right, and see, she's like you, Bob. She has kids that are still on the insurance. Now, if it's just me, I mean, when you have kids that are on your insurance, then it raises the premiums, and you'd rather avoid that. But if it's just you, like me right now, I would claim it. I'm too lazy to do it to my own car. I had to have it fixed.
Okay, so where, let's talk some scenarios. You live in an apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the best place that reduces the odds of getting one stolen that you're gonna park for the evening?
You know, I don't have many answers. Well, the best lit area, I guess. I mean, obviously, the thieves are gonna pick a darker area so they don't get caught. They're not gonna go into a well lit area. More chance of getting caught.
So the main part of the theft, is it from the side or is it from behind?
No, what they'll do is come up to the side of the vehicle, put a small jack under the frame, jack it up, just enough room for the guy, whoever's going to get under there with the saw, has enough room to get under there and start sawing. So they would approach it from the videos I've seen. They approach it from the side, jack it up, say
on the
driver's
side. There'd have to be a little bit of room there.
Well, you know what? You'd think so, but they do it with cars parked on both sides. They slide in there. They do it with cars, like in an apartment complex setting like you're describing. Cars just in a line, 1 through 20, all parked side by side.
And that's a manual. That's a manual saw.
No. It's an electric, battery-operated saw.
And it doesn't make enough noise?
Well, it's in a battery. It's a portable for what folks out there know as a sawzall. It's a reciprocating saw, and it's run by a battery. So you don't need a cord or anything, and it's got a metal blade on it, and it's going to make noise. It's going to make some noise, but, you know, they have this team of lookouts, Bob. It's an incredibly detailed, sophisticated, organized thing, the way they have each guy do a certain job. And it's unreal. I just can't believe that they can do it that quick. I don't think I could do it that quick. I've never tried it, but maybe I'll try it. Where are your car going to be parked tonight, Bob? Inside or out?
Yeah, it's going to be parked in the fortress.
It is now.
So what's the cost to replace one?
It depends. Make and model make a big difference. Sometimes it can be $300. Sometimes it can be $1,500 for one.
What's the most expensive that you've seen?
I haven't seen the most expensive ones, but the ones I've seen, Nissan, Toyota Tundra maybe, something like that. It was, I think, $1,800 for both of them.
Are those, and all those are aftermarket, I would assume?
I don't know. If you go to a muffler shop and they put on a catalytic converter, in most cases it's going to be an aftermarket converter. If you go in through insurance and they take it to the dealership, I would suspect it would be original equipment stuff. But a lot of people, especially the insurance company, they're not going to send you to the dealership.
Right,
they're going to send you to a muffler shop. And muffler shops can indeed put on catalytic converters, a lot of them. And they will charge less because it's not a original equipment Nissan branded catalytic converter. And that's why the one from Nissan or the one from the original equipment manufacturer is so much more valuable for the metal inside.
So do you think that a thief is going to check out underneath the car whether it's original or aftermarket and make a decision as to whether they're going to take the...
The one thing I want to say is this. Once you have this done, like I told my sister, once you have this done, if you have an aftermarket catalytic converter put on, they're not even going to bother with it.
But they have to get under the car to
Yeah, but it just takes a minute to look. Yeah,
it takes probably 20 seconds.
For these guys, they get under there with a flashlight, and they'll know within 5 seconds. They're really good at what they do.
1-877-913-5357. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we started a series on automotive inconvenience. The small things that you can do based on a time period, based on maybe a noise.
Like having your converter stolen. That's pretty inconvenient.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Until someone invents the alarm for the catalytic converter.
I say the little ink that explodes like in a bag in a bank.
That'd be awesome.
If a guy comes in with blue all over his face, you know that. Alert all the catalytic converter metal buyers.
But there's a lot of things, unlike a catalytic converter, that can be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, there's nothing worse than the inconvenience of an automotive problem.
That's right.
It's always comes out of the blue.
It never happens at a good time.
No, and it always comes out of the blue. You're never expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
Your day could be going great. Hey, it could be a Friday. And you have a problem. And
you just won the lottery. You've got 1 hour to collect. You say, yahoo, and you run out of your office, and you jump in your car, and the battery's dead.
Okay, so what's the next thing you would do? I know what I would do.
I'd call Uber.
That's what I was going to say. I'd call Uber as well.
I'm getting there.
So the one thing that I don't think that people consider is... And I call it the window washer blade miscue.
Mm-hmm.
And how that can become a real problem.
Yes, it can. It sounds very minor at first. You think, well, windshield wipers, big deal. Well, the problem is windshield wipers, especially here in Dallas with the heat of the summer, breaking down and degrading the rubber portion of the wiper blade can sit there, and this is a common thing that happens, Bob. You won't have to use your wipers for 2 months in some cases. The sun dries out that rubber, and the UV rays just make it into nothing but mush. The first time it rains, you turn your wipers on, and the metal portions of the refill material, or the metal portion of the actual arm on the blade, scratch a nice arc in your $1,300 windshield. Now
yeah,
you've got to either live with it.
We were talking about that, mm-hmm. and I didn't even think about that until you brought it up. Because you just think windshield, cheap car part, get it replaced.
Mm-hmm.
But today there's a lot of technology built into those.
They're heated. They've got heads-up displays in them. They've got all kinds of reflective material in them, glare reducers. I mean, it's not just a $200 windshield like it used to be. And, you know, even though, let's bar that for just a minute. If anybody has ever been in a rainstorm and their wiper blades are no good and it's really raining heavy and you're on the highway at 70 miles an hour, it's really scary. You know there's not much you can do. You're trying
right.
to look through the streaks.
Well, heavy rain by itself, even with good windshield wipers, is not
right.
a comfortable place to be.
And even worse, it's at night. And that makes it even more worse. So it's like, you know, wiper blades seem like such a trivial thing until you really need them. You know, it's nothing you think about, especially during the summer, when you don't have rain for 2 months, July and August, you don't even turn them on. What you should do is keep up with them. And I know this sounds like a lot of effort, but it's not. Every week, maybe once every 10 days, you turn your wipers on. I mean, you turn your push your washers to make sure you squirt something on the window. And then you let the blades run a swipe or two. That keeps them moisturized. It keeps them in good shape. And you know, they were starting to degrade already, you'll know it because they'll streak. Then you can at least say, well, you know what? I need to get some new blades because the day will come I'm going to need them. And I don't want to have to fight looking at that stuff just to drive. It's dangerous, you know.
So the streaks are probably the first symptom.
First indication of bad wiper blades is it does not wipe the window clean. There's streaks here and there.
Right.
It may wipe it clean at the top, and then in the middle there's a great big spot where it doesn't get the water off, and then two-thirds of the way down another spot. That's the beginning of bad wiper blades. They streak.
And you also got to be careful putting them on, that you put them on correctly, because that can also cause a scratched-up window.
Yeah, because if you don't put them on correctly and listen for the snap, so it snaps in place, and you think you got it on there, you won't know it until you're going 60 miles an hour, and I've seen them just fly off cars. You know, just they're it's raining, the wipers are on, and all of a sudden you're
then
following.
You really got a problem.
All of a sudden the blade just goes whoosh, off into the atmosphere. Yeah, that's bad because now you're going to scratch the window.
Right, and that's the worst case scenario. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.